Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. With plastic surgery come some familiar stories. The classmate who goes on an extended vacation to fix a deviated septum. The aging friend who comes back from a long break with a perpetually surprised expression. The B-list celebrity with the swollen lips. Or in the extreme cases, the overzealous surgeries making a person virtually unrecognizable. Think Michael Jackson. As shocking as the results of a procedure may be, an estimate from the American Society of Plastic Surgeons is truly startling. Between 2005 and 2013, the number of cosmetic procedures performed on Asian Americans increased by 125%, Hispanics by 85%, and African Americans by 56%, while for Caucasians, the number increased just 35%. Maureen O'Connor wrote about the rise in an article for New York Magazine called "Is Race Plastic? My Trip into the Ethnic Plastic Surgery Minefield." Maureen's a writer for New York Magazine. Welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'd like to start with those numbers that you cite in the article. What accounts for the dramatic and rapid rise in cosmetic procedures among the Asian Americans, African Americans, and Hispanics, especially in recent years?
Well, to some degree, it's probably sort of a catch-up process in that as minorities have, you know, bigger purchasing power, they have more ability to have luxury goods, and plastic surgery is essentially a luxury good in America. On top of that, there is sort of this huge boom in surgery, particularly overseas in Asia, and to some degree, some of the surgeries now occurring stateside are sort of mimicking or following that pattern, too.
What are some of the most commonly performed procedures or requested?
One of the big growth areas has been Asian blepharoplasty, which is the Asian double eyelid surgery, which is when some portion of Asians, not all, have what's called a monolid, which is when the skin on the eye goes straight, basically in one plane from the brow to the lash line with no crease. So adding a crease or enlarging a very small crease is a procedure that is pretty much specific and unique to Asians because they are, for the most part, the people that have that type of eye. It's like getting an eye lift, but a little bit different and a little specific to the anatomy of the Asian eye to create that crease.
What are some of the other common procedures?
So under this term, ethnic plastic surgery, which has turned into sort of a surgical term of art now, that also includes things like what is known as an ethnic rhinoplasty, which whereas a traditional rhinoplasty on a Caucasian person will usually be a reduction, pulling down sort of a prominent nose or a hump in a nose by shaving it down or removing some. An ethnic rhinoplasty usually involves the insertion of an implant, which, and you'll see that on, for instance, like Asian people, sometimes African Americans or Latinos at a very low line, the bridge of their nose. And so a surgeon will raise the bridge and perhaps refine the tip, too.
So the sort of sculpted, more Michael Jackson-y look in the later years.
Well, I think that people are trying not to get the Michael Jackson look in particular anymore. But that is, I mean, that's sort of the rough, that's sort of what people associate with it, particularly people that haven't had or don't have familiarity with these surgeries. There's a very sort of negative stigma, in part because of people like Michael Jackson that have had very sort of notorious mess-ups and notorious sort of confusions that end up being racially charged when people look at them saying, are you trying to erase your ethnicity or change it?
But broadly, these procedures do make people look less ethnic, quote unquote, and that's actually the terminology that some of the plastic surgeons you spoke with. You know, they're kind of whiteifying features. And you spoke to some of the patients about their motivations. And what did you learn?
Well, you know, when I went into it, and particularly because they use that term ethnic plastic surgery, the assumption is that they're trying to remove some level of ethnicity. But 201, absolutely nobody said they wanted to look white. Everybody was sort of talking about modifying their features sort of incrementally, or they want to look like who they actually are, but with something changed. And so it's hard to ignore the fact that, for instance, you're changing this feature that is sort of endemic to Asians, say a monolid, and to say that must have to do with a white ideal. But on the other hand, there are plenty of surgeries that fall under this ethnic plastic surgery umbrella that actually have no Caucasian corollary or no Caucasian ideal connected to it, which, for instance, there's also a trend among the Asian American community of facial contouring, which would be a woman who takes, say, prominent cheekbones and pulls them in, softens them, or gets V-line surgery on her chin to sort of make this sort of small, dainty chin. And those are two things that actually fall under that umbrella and don't have a Caucasian corollary. So as I worked on this, my question sort of started to be, why are we so focused on these things that we can say, oh, that's westernizing? Why are we not willing to take these people at their word when they say it's not about looking white?
Mm. We're talking with Maureen O'Connor, who's a writer for New York Magazine, about the plasticity of race. There's been a huge increase in plastic surgeries among people of Asian American, Hispanic American, and African American descent, people who are changing their features to become, quote unquote, less ethnic or more Western. Or is it that? As we're learning from Maureen, it's a lot more complicated. So calling it ethnic plastic surgery may be an oversimplification or worse, mm-hmm. or a completely racist assumption.
It is, and it's sort of one thing that shocked me as I was working on this was that we're so used to sort of this, in an age of political correctness, to hear somebody say, oh, well, that's a Caucasian feature, that one's very nice, or this is an Asian feature, I would give you plastic surgery on it, is almost blasphemous to the ear of somebody who's so used to extraordinary carefulness when we talk about race. And even that term ethnic plastic surgery sort of defies the common definition of ethnicity, which usually has to do with language and culture, and race, which usually has to includes physical appearance. Mm. And so there's sort of this sort of brashness to the way that people go forward with this, which is at one hand very shocking, but on the other hand a little bit freeing as well.
Let's hear an example here from September of last year. The TV personality, Julie Chen, she's one of the hosts of this show, The Talk. She revealed that she had undergone blepharoplasty on the show. Now, here she is explaining how it came about, a conversation with her agent.
And I want to show you a side-by-side of how dramatic this surgery really was. I mean, if you look at the after, the eyes are bigger. Mm-hmm. I look more alert.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More expressive.
Right. And but how do you feel about yourself right now?
Now it's like I sometimes wonder. But I will say after I had that done, everything kind of the ball did roll for me. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I struggle with, wow. You know, did I give in to the man and do this? Yeah. And it was...
Sorry, you didn't give in to the man, Julie. You know, because you don't know about giving in to the man. You
know? Fair enough. Right. I will say this.
Right. You didn't do that. You made a choice that was good for you. You have represented, I'm going to say it, your people. You represented your race. You represented women and your colleagues. Don't look back.
Thank you.
So her co-host says, you know, you didn't give in to the man. But what was the response from the public, especially among Asian Americans?
You know, that just hearing that now, you notice the marked difference between the way the audience is reacting with gasp,
yes.
sort of shock,
uh-huh.
and then the way, you know, Sharon Osbourne saying, fabulous, as though she's discovered some, like, beautiful new shade of eyeshadow. The public... There was a lot more gasping in the public audience than there was among her co-hosts. We'll put it that way, that I think a lot of people... saw that, and particularly because she told that story in the context of, I had a boss who said I couldn't be a news anchor because I looked too Chinese. I had an agent who told me he wouldn't take me on. She put it in sort of the world of racism, and I think that is the way a lot of people end up feeling and seeing these procedures. So a lot of people did say, yeah, you gave in to the man. You just said this is the man, a TV honcho who tells you to get surgery, and you did it. On the other hand, she then did a follow-up where she said, I wasn't trying to erase my race. I don't think that's what this procedure does. Which sort of demonstrates the sort of ambivalence that I think a lot of people have.
And a lot of the outrage on these westernizing elements of plastic surgery actually do come from white people. You know, these are the people who say, how could you possibly cave in to an agent who would say something like that? So are we putting too much of the onus for this on other ethnic groups?
You know, it is interesting that as I was working on this, all of a sudden I wondered why there's such a vested interest in policing what minorities do to body parts that we associate with their race, and to sort of feel like we need to police that an Asian person, these eyes we think make them look Asian, and thus they're not allowed to change them. And then I started wondering, where does that impulse come from? Why does that all of a sudden become everybody else's business because it's a body part that we associate with racial identity?
You yourself, Maureen, consulted a very famous plastic surgeon, you know, when you were working on this article.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are criticizing doctors who profit off of these procedures. Mm-hmm. Have these surgeries that are popular in other countries been more widely adopted by doctors in the U.S. in recent years?
They're certainly booming, definitely, here. One thing that one doctor pointed out to me was she said, well, when you look at the photos of and the types of surgeries people get, say, in Korea versus the things that Korean Americans or Asian Americans get, it's much more extreme overseas. And to some degree, that's probably because the medical laws and practices are just more loose out there. To another degree, though, what she suggested was she said, well, maybe it's that over here, an Asian person would see all the variety of all different peoples of different races every day, and you get used to sort of thinking that you're altering your face to fit in among a very diverse crowd. And then some of that is the sort of shocking frankness of people who choose to look at beauty and faces as something that can be chosen from among the features of all the peoples in the world. And there's something sort of almost comfortingly, almost post-racial about it in some strange way, to be totally sort of freed from all of the baggage associated with that and to just say, well, these are the features that you want to change. I'm going to change them for you without any bringing in the political implications every single time.
Well, you think, you know, you could say, I want Jessica Alba's nose or Kim Kardashian's bottom, you know. There is this kind of commodification about it that still feels a little creepy, you know, that you can just build yourself or even breed a child to look a particular way.
It's very, it felt very much like science fiction sometimes, although the question is this a dystopia or a utopia? It's sort of alarming in many ways to hear people talking about race and ethnicity with such sort of freeness, as though you can sort of pick and choose pieces of it.
Maureen O'Connor, I want to thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Maureen O'Connor is a writer for New York Magazine, and you'll find a link to read her article, Is Race Plastic? My Trip into the Ethnic Plastic Surgery Minefield. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Cosmetic surgery may be problematic for race and identity, but it's like gravy when it comes to good material for jokes. From Kathy Griffin to Chris Rock, comedians routinely poke fun at those who get work done, or in the case of Joan Rivers, poke fun at themselves. Here is a short collection of stand-up comics taking on plastic surgery.
I would never get plastic surgery, clearly. But I don't understand it. I don't, especially when it becomes recreational and repetitive. Women do it all the time to look younger. And it would make perfect sense if one of them ever came out looking younger. Men get it too, not as much, but they do. I read a story about one guy that got a lot of plastic surgery and he's in his late 70s. Getting plastic surgery in your late 70s, it's kind of like painting your house as the fire approaches.
Michael Jackson going to jail. It's gonna be a sad sight when Michael Jackson goes to jail. Oh, we gonna shed a tear when Michael Jackson go to jail. And it ain't even gonna be sad the day he go in. It's gonna be sad like a month later when that perm grows out of his hair so he don't got the Crayola people to fix his face no more.
Okay, now can we talk about
Heidi Montag?
Oh my gosh.
Go.
All right. First of all, it should be on the Discovery Channel because she is the first human to have a successful entire head transplant. Entire head transplant. This isn't dental work.
Dude, if you're thinking about getting a facelift, do yourself a favor. Just wait it out. Let them practice on other people's faces. When they work it out, then you go in. It's like hair plugs. Hair plugs don't look half bad, no. Saw a guy in a commercial the other night. He's like, ah, God, I wish I did this 10 years ago. It's like, no, you don't. 10 years ago, when they were stapling ant legs to the top of people's heads, everybody's eyes watering, trying not to look at your hairline. Dude, you got to be happy with who you are, man. There's nothing wrong with being 45 and looking 45. Would you rather be 45 and look 45 or be 45 and look like a 28-year-old lizard? Yeah, that's basically your options.
Comedians Kathy Griffin, Bill Burr, Chris Rock, and Dana Gould there, making hay out of the pitfalls of plastic surgery. Up next, we're going to head to Kabul, Afghanistan, to find out why more and more women there are considering plastic surgery. That's when Word of Mouth returns with its all-natural self.